And opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Morning. Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Wednesday, the 26th of February, 2025, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. Now, I don't normally start off the morning with a bottle of bubbly, but Collect the Bay of the Bahamas invites you to Victory Fest 2025. Join us Saturday, March 1st at Smuggler's Square for an epic celebration of the 2024 Boxing Day and 2025 New Year's Day Junkanoo winners, the Saxons Superstars. The Junkanoo season may be over, but the celebration is just getting started. Enjoy music by Playhouse DJs, Little Giant and DJ Tank, and performing live, Fanshawn and D-Mac. Let's celebrate the four straight Junkanoo winners, Saxons Superstars. Now, a Kalik fan, a Kalik stalwart said to me over the weekend, Erin, I see you out here begging for Kalik Radler, begging them to make a Kalik Juju Radler. He say, man, you might as well drink apple juice, because the Radler ain't nothing for real Kalik drinkers. I said, first of all, you don't know what you're talking about. I said, second of all, wait until I tell Kalik it's time that we have a Radler mixology competition, right? Where we invite the country's best mixologists and the country's best local agriculture vendors to maybe partner, but most importantly, compete to create the most exciting and creative cocktail with Kalik Radlers. See, y'all don't be dissing the item. Let me be at my Radler level. That's what I qualified to drink. I don't be no social promotion. You gotta move up. No, I good with Radlers. But imagine now if we use Radlers as the base for signature Bahamian cocktails that could only be purchased in the Bahamas or with a Bahamian global partnership. Like somebody them in London may open up a bar and feature all Bahamian drinks, huh? Mm. I just saying, collect me and you and them, we could go far together. Anyway, March 1st, Smuggler's Square. Y'all be there. The four straight Junkanoo winners, Saxon Superstars, deserve our attendance. I'm excited. Juju season is almost over. That means it's tamarind time. Tamarind is a super food. It's great for you. I'm going to need y'all to just start picking tamarind. Trust me. Trust me. If you pick it, they will come and buy it. I guarantee you only gonna be on a corner for 30 minutes before somebody buy your sack a tamarind. And if you're smart, you can go by a church, because church ladies love to make tamarind sauce. So it's time to start making some money. Oh, again, tamarind is a superfood. It's time to start eating some tamarind. We're talking health this morning. I have a guest joining me in studio to talk about a wonderful initiative. And I say in wonderful because I was in a position where this is the exact thing that I needed. So this morning we are talking with Ms. Melissa Major, founder of MD Patient Navigation. And MD Patient Navigation operates a yearly initiative called MD Cares. Mm-hmm. And Ms. Major is here today to tell us about the initiative and how we are preparing for this year's drive for the initiative. Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning.
And welcome back to Nassau Guardian.
Oh, thank you so much. Talk Radio. Good morning, Bahamas. And yes, good morning. And thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Same thing here. Now, I was excited because many times in my healthcare, in my health journey, mm-hmm. I needed a patient advocate.
Yes.
At one point, 25 plus years ago, I was at PMH, and the security guard looked at me and said, oh, I think it's going to take about 2 weeks before you could see a doctor, miss.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, first of all, why is the security guard telling me this? Second of all, I can't wait 2 weeks for a doctor to then say to me, why didn't you come in sooner?
Yeah.
And then I remembered I walked past an office called Patient Advocate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, tell us what a patient advocate is and what you do at MD Patient Navigation.
Okay, so basically a patient advocate, and at the end of the day, we are all advocates.
Mm-hmm.
A patient advocate helps patients navigate through the healthcare system. Patient advocacy as well as navigation is interchangeable. It's basically the same thing, mm-hmm. right? And we assist patients with removing barriers that they might have during their care.
Okay.
And we also educate. We empower. So we wear different hats, but ultimately it's all together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I work one-on-one with cancer patients. I have expanded to working in other areas of healthcare, but cancer is my niche market.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want to say good morning and thank you to G&D Caring and Sharing Support Group.
Yeah.
Duquesa Dean, mm-hmm. who works with the organization, mm-hmm. was a patient advocate for me.
Yeah.
Familiarizing me with certain portions of the process.
Yes, yes.
Right? And so when I was reading about the service, MD Patient Navigation, mm-hmm. I realized what it said is that we provide advocacy and support for the entire healthcare journey.
Right.
From
beginning.
Determining what is this? How do I find information?
Yes.
How do I find services?
Right.
To now I have identified a service provider.
Yeah.
I have a sense of what's happening with me.
Yeah.
How do I navigate the system?
Right.
How do I navigate this journey?
Right, right. And like you said, it starts from the patient knowing exactly what their diagnosis is. And the relationship lasts throughout their survivorship years. And, you know, that could be to end a life, basically. And I've had the opportunity to work with many patients along that journey. And I want to send a shout out to Duquesa as well, because she's doing an amazing job along with her team mm-hmm. and her organization. And Duquesa has been in it for a very, very long time. Her mom and I actually... we've worked together very closely at the Cancer Society, and Jenny was a part of my story as it relates to patient advocacy and telling my own story, because I'm a survivor of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, which is a cancer of your lymphatic system. And I was diagnosed. I'm also a young adult survivor.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes with a whole different experience, right? And when I came back from doing my treatment, because I did my treatment at MD Anderson in Houston, Texas,
mm-hmm.
and Aaron, I was told that I had 3 to 6 months to live, providing that I didn't get proper treatment, right?
Mm-hmm.
I had a tumor in my chest bigger than a grapefruit, and it was there for a very long time, and because it started to expand and it, you know, was touching on things, like I started to feel pain, and when I went to the doctors... I was misdiagnosed several times, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And when I finally, you know, the last straw was, I'm not leaving this hospital until y'all tell me what's wrong with me. And they did a scan and they found this tumor in my chest. And at that time, I had several biopsies, went to MD Anderson in Houston, Texas. I was there for an entire year. I did 8 cycles of chemotherapy, 28 days of radiation, and I wasn't able to work. And at that time, being at a research center, you know, MD Anderson is one of the best institutions for cancer care. Being at that institution, it made me fell in love with patient navigation. And I had a patient navigation nurse. Now, there are different types of patient navigation because you have oncology navigation, then you have lay navigators. So I would be considered a lay navigator because I don't deal with the medical side of it, right? And I fell in love with what she did for me during my time at MD Anderson. And when I came home, and one of my friends was diagnosed, and she came and she told me, and I typically didn't like what she was experiencing. And I asked, I said, hey, I'm going to be there for you 100%. Mm-hmm. And throughout her journey, I had some big questions as it related to why are we still treating patients the way we are when in the U.S. is so much, you know, it's so much more advanced. And then I went to the Cancer Society and I said, hey, I want to become more involved. And they welcomed me. And I volunteered there for a very, very, very long time. And I had an opportunity to work with the Cancer Society. I worked with the Bahamas Breast Cancer Initiative, where we did the genetic testing. And I've worked with several of community projects as it relates to cancer, mm-hmm. as well as I'm currently serving with the Healthy Bahamas Coalition as their cancer awareness lead. And, you know, my own personal journey working at the Cancer Society, working with patients, I saw that we have some gaps. And I said, you know what, let me see how I could best fill this gap. And that's when I decided, you know, patients would come to me one-on-one and they did not want to be a part of support group. And they just want it. Okay, Melissa, I just want to work with you. Like, I'm just not interested. And, you know, we still live in a country where we have a lot of stigma as it relates to cancer. Persons don't like to talk about it. Persons are diagnosed. They're not telling their families about it. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot. And
let me just stick up in there. Mm-hmm. Dear parents, in many instances, you want to not pressure your children. You don't want to burden them with the news. Right?
Yeah.
And in some instances, you feel like this is my life.
Yeah.
I'm the parent. Yeah. I can decide whether to share this information or not.
Yeah.
Please don't.
Yeah.
Please don't take that posture.
Yeah.
Your children, your family, they walk this journey with you whether they know what you're going through or not.
Yeah.
Please give them the opportunity, not necessarily forget the part about reconciling with it, but give them the opportunity to support you in the ways that they can.
Yeah, most definitely. And yeah, so, you know, when it came to offering the service, the patient navigation business, like I said, you know, it's a business. I work with patients. I work with a lot of family island patients that actually come in.
Because understanding and navigating
right.
New Providence.
Right, right.
Versus the family island.
So setting up their appointments, scheduling their appointments, you know, sometimes they need things shipped to the family island. Sometimes they need, you know, persons to go and pick up. So I have a team that assists me with all of that. But when it came to the oncology part of it, I noticed that a lot of the patients that were coming to me, like they couldn't afford it. They couldn't afford it. So I did some research and I noticed that the American Cancer Society has a program called the Beacon Initiative. And the Beacon Initiative basically is a global community. They have over 40, maybe 50 something countries in this community. And what they do is they provide you with a tool that assists you in developing and designing a patient navigation program for the underserved population.
All right.
And I absolutely love that because I have no problem giving back, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm okay with giving back. And so I decided, okay, you know what? Let me create these initiatives. And the Cancer Care Initiative was one of the first initiatives that I came up with. And I am actually partnered with Legacy Church on this initiative. And we pack care kits for cancer patients. And Corporate Bahamas has supported me, I must say, on this initiative. And we put items in the care packets that patients would normally need in their chemo bags, right? Because, mm-hmm. you know, when you go to chemo, you're there for a very, very long time. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, I've noticed that some patients just don't have it. So, and it's nice, you know, when you go to treatment and you get a little gift, you know, it makes you feel so valued and appreciated. And so we created these care gifts. To date, I have donated 440 care kits to the public health, PHA. Mm-hmm. And I've also donated, some of them went to the Cancer Society, as well as on radiation, radiology, public health radiology department. So the care kits are for public health patients, and that's public health patients that are paying out of pocket and typically won't be able to afford it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, 440 kits so far, mm-hmm. that means you are only 560 kits away from your 1,000 kit goal.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. So, yeah.
All right. Let's talk about some of the things we want to put inside a care kit.
Okay. So in the care kits, we have masks, you know, ever since COVID. And honestly, cancer patients, you know, you go through that period when you're in your treatment where your blood count might be low. Mm-hmm. So when it came around for COVID and wearing masks, I'm like, you know, this is something that I'm already used to. So cancer patients, we wear masks, okay? And it could be for, and now that it's, COVID is over, but we still have to protect ourselves, protect and the immune system.
Immunocompromised right. people and people who live with, work with,
yes.
and support immunocompromised
yes.
people
yes.
are wearing masks.
Yes,
yeah.
and it's important that, you know, you wear that mask because you don't want to get sick during that time that blood count is low because it's going to hinder your treatment process. Mm-hmm. So we have masks in the kits. We have snacks in the kits. You know, we have healthy snacks that are there because, you know, sometimes you might need a little bite during treatment. We also have unscented, like, moisturizers, especially for the patients that do radiation. We have unscented moisturizers. We have hand sanitizers.
And unscented is extremely important.
Unscented is extremely important, and not just from a chemical standpoint, but from sometimes during treatment, you know, your smell.
Sense of smell is heightened.
Yes, and taste as well, mm-hmm. right? And so we also have, we have like little ginger mints. We have teas for nausea. Sometimes, you know, you not might be feeling good.
Ginger, peppermint, chamomile,
yeah.
black tea.
Yes.
Now, while we're talking teas here, uh-huh. right? I'm someone who's prone to say Sarasee tea, thyme tea, soursop leaf tea.
Yeah.
But in this instance, are we encouraging people to bring tea bags versus a bush medicine concoction that you put together at home?
Now, here's the thing with the bush medicine, right? And mm-hmm. I always tell persons when I'm working with them, I have nothing against bush medicine. Is so good for you, mm-hmm. right? Medicinal teas, when you can make your tea yourself, is so good. Because, I mean, we grew up at Grammy making tea, right? Mm-hmm. I grew up, my Grammy didn't buy no tea bag. She used to go outside and cut some leaf, and we have lemon, pear, you know, fever grass. We have all these different types of teas. And these teas are really good for you. And if you, those teas actually in the packets, they could be considered medicinal as well, right?
Okay.
Especially, you know, chamomile tea. I know some persons, if you want blood thinners and all these different things, it could affect you. What I recommend is have a conversation with your doctor. Mm-hmm. Have a conversation with your doctor, because food is medicine and chemotherapy is medicine. Right? Mm-hmm. And if the two of them collide, that could potentially hinder once again your treatment. Mm-hmm. Right? So you don't want to overdo it, or you don't want to take too much of it.
Right.
Those tea, according to the FDA, you know, those are the right dosage as per a cup of tea. When we make our bush tea, we don't necessarily know what strength and which dosage that we're getting. And my recommendation as well, as it relates to the bush tea, Aaron, is that I always tell people cycle it, right? When you go and you take medication, you don't take medication 24/7. So if you're going to drink it for like 3 to 7 days and then, you
take
know,
a break.
Take a break. And then, you know, and we have this habit of we want a 32-ounce cup of moringa. And we're going to have that moringa steeping in that cup all day. And that is very potent.
Mm-hmm. That's like a week's worth of moringa.
Yes. So we have tea bags in there as well. And I actually have some individuals that have actually donated tea bags with the moringa and the little soursop and breadfruit and the different type of teas that we also put in the kits.
Okay.
And then, you know, outside of that, we have the chemo needles as well as we might have, you know, some Panadol. We have electrolytes.
Mm-hmm.
We have...
Socks. Neck pillow or travel pillow,
mm-hmm.
because patients spend a lot of time in waiting rooms.
Yes.
They spend a lot of time sitting up in treatment.
And you just need that support.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Scarf.
I won't go through this whole list.
Okay.
Notepad or coloring pad.
Yes.
I'm going to say adult coloring books and children's coloring books for pediatric patients.
Right.
Lotion, Vaseline, reusable water bottles,
mm-hmm.
crackers, a case of water case. So mm-hmm. cases of water.
Yeah.
Ginger candy or mints to alleviate nausea.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the tea bags.
Mm-hmm.
Broth or soup.
Mm-hmm. And that's a popular one as well.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, you know, you don't have an appetite, but you just use... A lot of patients actually suffer from malnutrition, believe that, because they're bombarded with... is so much information when it comes to what to eat and what not to eat. And most times they opt not to eat because people are telling them, hey, you need to eat this. But the reality, Aaron, this is what I want everybody to understand. Everybody is so different, right?
Mm-hmm.
They opt not to eat because someone is telling them, hey, don't eat this because this has caused cancer and blah, blah, blah. And this is why you have yourself in this position. And they end up starving.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're going through this whole treatment and you're trying to figure out, well, why am I not getting any better? And it's because you are nutrient deficient.
Right. At the root of it.
Yes.
Masks, headscarves, shawls and tams,
mm-hmm.
journals,
mm-hmm.
chapstick.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I put this one on the list from my personal experience.
Okay.
Noise canceling headphones.
Oh, that would be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the ward, because my experience was there were a couple of patients who were having pain management issues.
Mm.
And I'm not mad at them.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at them at all. I was not in a position where that sort of frustrated me to a point where it impacted my care.
Yeah.
But I could imagine other long-term residents benefiting from noise canceling headphones as well. And let me just say socks.
Socks are very necessary. Socks, yes.
And I'm not sure in terms of the sort of sanitation and hygiene requirements in a ward.
Yeah.
But I don't see like reading books on here. Maybe.
Okay. So reading books are good. The kits are like... I should have brought you one. I'm going to bring you one so you can actually see what it looks like. But if you go on MD Patient Navigation Facebook page or Instagram page, you can actually see the kit. So the kits are not that big,
mm-hmm.
right? So we just have the necessity, what is very necessary for that moment. And, you know, most people, you know, they would probably have a book or, you know, they would have their headphones. But I like that. Headphones one. I might actually look into that.
I just want to take a moment to say good morning and thank you to all the staff on the gynae ward at PMH and at the oncology clinic on the PMH compound.
Yeah.
Right? It takes a tremendous amount of energy.
It does. It does. And it takes teamwork.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All I could say to them is thank you.
Yeah. All I can say too is, you know, thank you. And I've been working with them for a very long time. from an advocate standpoint and just helping out. And it's a lot, Erin. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a lot. And we still have quite a bit of work to do as it relates to our public health system.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as good corporate citizens and good citizens of the Bahamas, you know, where we can lend a hand, like, let's do it. Cancer is a very, very expensive disease. Like, I've maxed out $1 million insurance already, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are still opting not to do treatment because they just can't afford it. And they're not even telling their families that they have cancer because they don't want to stress their families out about it.
Too many senior citizens are passing away with a diminished quality of life.
Not even senior citizens, you know?
I want to talk about these men who take this obligation of masculinity to the extreme where I can't get sick. Yeah. I'm going to work until I die because I have to provide for these children, for these people, for my mother, for my Grammy, for my aunties, for these boys, right? And so too many people are burdening themselves with weight that could be impacting their recovery.
Yeah, definitely.
MD Cares Initiative. Now that we know what people need, how do we get these things to you? How do we donate to this initiative?
Persons can call me, and my information is on my social media pages, as well as, so my phone number is 557-1693. And if you have items and you want to drop them off to Legacy Church, definitely you can drop them off to Legacy Church. It's on JFK.
Okay.
JFK Drive, in the yellow auditorium right before
Red Cross, heading east.
Yes, correct. Okay. Yeah, right there.
Now, I found another number on the website.
Yes.
805-2010.
Yes, 805-2010, and that's the business number. So that number is actually perfect. Or you can just send a WhatsApp, you know, and we pack this. So we're in the process of packing. We probably pack another 100 kits, probably starting next week.
Okay.
And so we delivered them to oncology, probably 50 at a time, because we want to make sure that, you know, the flow is there for everybody to be able to get one, for new patients as well as returning patients. And the patients, you know, they have reached out to me personally and said, you know, Melissa, thank you so much. This makes a big, huge difference. And I have persons, every time they go away, they go shopping. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a lot. I have this one lady, she would bring me, you know, one of her traveling bags full of socks. Because I always tell her, you know, just bring socks. Just bring socks, you know. And we have persons with the Tams. So the socks and the Tams, definitely. And you have some persons, they might just go to the grocery store and they might pick up a packet of water.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, you know, Melissa, I want to drop this off to you, or pick up some tea bags, or just pick up something and say, hey, Melissa, I want to drop this off to you. And literally, that is how we get the items that we put in the kits. We also have Corporate Bahamas, you know, a few of the retailers have jumped in and said, you know, they have also donated as well to this initiative.
I love when our corporate partners are corporate partnering.
Yeah.
Can I call some of the names of last year's corporate partners?
Definitely.
So we've got, of course, Legacy Church, which is a stalwart partner in this initiative.
Yes.
Deltek Bank.
Yes.
TGS Print Studios, BIAS.
Right.
Or is that BAIC?
That's BAIC. That's BAIC. Okay. Yeah.
No problem. I wanted to know.
No. BIAS.
Yeah, BIAS.
Yeah, no, that's correct. BIAS.
Who's BIAS?
Yes.
Is that...
That's a private company.
Okay. Well,
yes.
Listen, thank you very much. We have ACH Pritchard, Lowe's Wholesale,
yes.
Grace Community Church,
yes.
Bahamas Roadmasters,
yes.
That's the... There's some people there who like to run and be healthy.
Yes.
Bahamas Medical and Surgical Supplies, Tried and Trust, Domino's Pizza, American Airlines, Aloha Intelligence, Custom U, Rhea Williams, Inc., Dr. Ebby Jackson, Linnell Williams, Linnell Williams, Aswood, Sancha Miller, and Alicia Butler.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you. Any new partners coming on this year?
So we also have, a trucking, I can't remember the name of the trucking company. That's horrible. So we have Doctors Hospital that came on. We also have Oak Tree Medical that came on. And I want to say a special shout out to Oak Tree Medical, because Oak Tree Medical actually sponsors our art therapy program. And the art therapy program is basically another component of the Care Kit initiative.
Mm-hmm.
So I literally have navigation groups that I'm in the process of developing. And these navigation groups are basically catering to the integrative side of what patients go through as it relates to cancer treatment.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the art therapy with Nadia Cash, who is a clinical psychologist.
Okay.
And we have Anne Marie Sampson, who is an art director.
Okay.
And so every other Saturday, we meet at the Cancer Society. And the patients that stay at the Cancer Society, they get to participate in this program. This program is free, by the way, for cancer patients.
All right.
And they get to participate in the program. And, you know, working along with Nadia, you know, she is helping them better learn how to cope with the disease. Nadia herself is also a cancer survivor. And so we deal with coping, we deal with, you know, depression, any type of emotional stress that you might go through during your treatment. This is an opportunity for us to create artwork. And, you know, it is so touching because it's very expressive due mm-hmm. to the fact that they can put, you know, what it is that they're going through on paper. And it's 2 hours from 10 to 12 every other Saturday at the Cancer Society. And we would ask persons to RSVP because we try to keep the group small and intimate so that, you know, from a coaching perspective, Nadia is able to touch, you know, everyone. And I would like for patients to really take advantage of this opportunity because, you know, to probably have a session with Nadia, it's going to run you into, you know, quite a bit of money.
that you were probably already focused on paying for healthcare treatments.
Yes.
Now, what if I am a surviving relative? What if I've lost a loved one to cancer?
So you are still welcome to come, because at the end of the day, there is always something that we as caregivers, you know, you would be considered a caregiver. So that's, it's open to cancer patients that are doing treatment. It's open to survivors, as well as it's open to caregivers. And we would also like to encourage the healthcare workers to come out and take part in this as well.
All right. Ms. Major, give us the contact information again. Mm-hmm. And how much time do I have to donate to this initiative?
It's ongoing.
Okay.
Definitely it's ongoing. The art therapy is on the books every other week. You could reach me at 557-1693. That's my cell phone number. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram. You can find me Melissa Deidre or MD Patient Navigation.
Right. And we can contact the office at
805-2010. Yes.
Or find you online at MDPNAV.
Right. Or you can just go to mdpatientnavigation.org. And you can find me there.
As well.
All the information is right there. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
MD Cares Initiative, donating cancer care kits to the PHA Foundation and the patients that use PMH primarily.
Yes,
and this year, Doctors Hospital is also partnering with this initiative.
Well, Doctors Hospital partnered at the end of last year, but it's Oak Tree Medical.
This year.
Oak Tree Medical has sponsored the art therapy program.
And that's this month coming, March 1st.
Actually, it's Saturday. We have a session on Saturday.
Saturday the
1st. At the Cancer Society at 10 a.m.
Awesome. Then March 5th maybe, and 29th?
So, no, it's March 15th. That date is wrong. It's March 15th and then the 29th.
Absolutely. Thank you, producer. We're going to a break. Thank you, Melissa Major from MD Cares Initiative. hosted by MD Patient Navigation. It's been my pleasure.
I would like
to have you back so we could continue this drive for donations.
Yes, thank you so much. I appreciate you, and I appreciate Garden Radio.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. We're going to a break. You guys stay tuned. On the Clock with Erin Green. We'll be right back.
You to Victory Fest 2025. Join us Saturday, March 1st at Smuggler's Square for an epic celebration of the 2024 Boxing Day and 2025 New Year's Junk and the Winners, the Saxon Superstars. Enjoy music by Playhouse DJs, Lil Giant, DJ Tank, and performing live, Van Sean and D-Mac. Let's celebrate the four straight Junk and the Winners, Saxon Superstars. Victory Fest 2025, Saturday, March 1st at Smuggler's Square, hosted by Rika C. Gates open at 8 p.m. Let's celebrate Junk and the Culture and the Saxon Superstars. Collect reminds you to drink responsibly.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Bahamas, are you ready? The world is coming to our stand for the 2025 CONCACAF Beach Soccer World Cup Qualifiers, March 11th through 16th at the Beach Soccer Stadium next to the Sydney Poitier Bridge. The Junkin' the Beach Boys, top five in CONCACAF, taking on Mexico, USA, and El Salvador. Beach party meets world-class soccer, non-stop action, Junkin' the Rhythms, great food and pure vibes, and it's free. Bring your crew, ring your cowbells, beat your drums, no whistles. March 11th through 16th at the Beach Soccer Stadium. Visit BahamasFA.net for details. Bahamas Beach Soccer, pure vibes.
Benazir Lampkin. Besides carrying all the roofing material needed to cover East End, Enterprises also has all the equipment needed to put it together and to protect your workers. At Enterprises, we got hand tools, power and manual, including hacksaws, hammers, mauls, wrecking bars, well, hopefully they won't need them yet, drill bits, tapes, plumb bobs, levels, and more. We got cement, concrete bond and fiber, lime, sand, and P-Rock. We got dust masks, safety glasses, gloves, hard hats, and high visibility vests. Lampkin, what we got here at Enterprises is a one-stop shop for builders.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. What you heard just now is the newest release from Julian Believe featuring Shine 242 and Johnny Cake called Whip Wap. The boy just released it good. In fact, if you were at the Guardian's 180th anniversary celebrations, you would have gotten a sneak peek of this song. The trio performed it for us live, and I am so excited to hear it finally on the radios. Call the fire engine, tell them come quick and play Whip Wap by Julian Believe, Shine, and Johnny Cake on your radio. Okay, I've got a few minutes left, and I've got to touch some headlines. I want to read some headlines out loud, and then I'm going to delve into a couple of stories. We got about 10 minutes. Producer, let's go to that caller quickly. Let's see what they're saying this morning. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. Good show. How you doing?
Good, thank you. Thank you much.
I'll give you a less than minute story. You know, about 15 or 16 years ago, I was working at a nightclub on Paradise Island.
Yes.
Candles, right next to the police station.
Okay.
And a lady walk in, and we were sitting there talking. We're talking mostly about the Bahamas.
Okay.
So I went to the bar to get a drink. So the bartender said, Quincy, say, you know who you're talking to? I said, no. He said, that's Roberta Flack. I said, who?
What?
He said, man, listen to me. He said, the lady who sang Killing Me Softly.
Mm-hmm.
And I listen to me, Erin. When she died, it was unbelievable because what I would say is that she was such a good friend of Luther Vandross. And he was just singing with her,
mm-hmm.
right? And Luda's my favorite R&B vocalist. Man, look here. I mean, and look here, we talked for more than an hour, and I didn't know who this lady was.
Wow. And listen,
okay, it hit me so much when she passed, because we were sitting down all night just talking.
Yeah.
It was an asshole.
You know, Luther said that it's Roberta Flack that encouraged him to take his career solo.
To go vocalist, yes, that's right.
Wow.
You make you rest in peace.
Takiya, thank you for that story. Absolutely. That's Quincy Pratt, the Triller Minute.
There's only one Triller. When I go, there won't be another.
There you go. Thank you so much, eh? You have a wonderful morning. You have a wonderful day. Okay, here are the headlines. Tribune headlines. Electronic monitoring bid award criticized by expert. Second in command agrees, quote, something went wrong, close quotes, over prisoner found dead. Quote, Greenslade example undermines claim, rehires due to lack of succession planning. Close quotes, Knowles rebellious children key in runaways. And a headline, fire advising moorings row. Here's the headlines I want to get into. First two, Mitchell says answering questions isn't worth the trouble sometimes. Let's start with this one. Man convicted of molesting boy he babysat. I just got to read this into the record. I want to know if y'all are hearing what I'm hearing when I read this out loud. A jury on Tuesday unanimously convicted a man of sexually abusing a young boy. Basil McDonald, 30, looked back at his wife and shook his head after the jury returned their verdict. Justice Wilhelmina Archer Minnis ordered McDonald remanded into custody to await sentencing. He and his wife hugged each other before he was led away in handcuffs. The penalty phase of his trial will begin on April 24th. According to the evidence, McDonald molested the child in 2019 and 2020 while living with his family. McDonald moved in with the family after he told the oldest son, whom he worked with, that he needed somewhere to stay. The boy's mother said she regarded McDonald as one of her children and often referred to him as her son. Her younger son regarded McDonald as his best friend, and they played video games together. She said that McDonald often babysat her son while she and her other son went out. The mother said in 2020, when her son was 9, she came home unexpectedly and saw McDonald sitting on the bed with her son with his hand around his waist. The mother said her son ran into her bedroom and refused to tell her if McDonald had molested him. She said that she told McDonald that he had to leave the home until she figured out what was happening. After McDonald left, her son became withdrawn and began cutting himself. His mother took him to counseling, and in 2023, he told a teacher that McDonald had molested him. The teacher reported the incident to the principal, who contacted the mother. As a result, she made a complaint to the police. The victim said he was hesitant about telling his mother about what McDonald had done because he didn't want him to get in trouble. He said the ordeal had left him confused about love. McDonald denied the allegations and said that he was not gay. He suggested that the boy had made the false claims after being coached by his mother. Jerome Mangra represented the accused. Shanika Carey and Betsy Wilson were the prosecutors. I think that story needed to be read into the record. I am stunned by what I read. I want to err on the side of caution and reserve in critical interrogation, but just something that does not make sense here. Why would a man that has a wife who would come to court and hug him after this verdict, why would he need somewhere to stay? Is there something we are missing? Is it reasonable to ask, does McDonald have what would be termed diminished capacity? Perhaps the state should investigate the home to ensure that all children are living in a safe environment. It is a very sad situation. But one thing we know now is just young people that need support. We need to devise programs that support entire families. Erin, why does it seem as if there's a growing number of LGBTQ members abusing children? What's happening here? Okay, so Texter, let's talk about it. See, pedophilia, let's start there. Pedophilia is when an adult molests has an attraction to a prepubescent child. And then there are two categories that come after that. So there's prepubescent, and then there's from pubescent to about 15 or 14, and then from 14 to age of consent. So there are three different categories at play here. When an adult molests or has an inappropriate relationship with an underage child, right? When it's prepubescent, right? The child has no gender mark. They're all flat-chested. They all could easily be mistaken for boy or girl. There is no gender attached there. It is unfair to say LGBTQ members abusing children. That's unfair to say. What I'm willing to entertain is this. Why do we see, so many instances of child rape? And are we seeing the similar numbers for same-sex and opposite-sex rape molestation interaction? But don't conflate the issue. You're not serving a positive purpose. You cloud the issue. Here's a second headline I want to read from. Mitchell says, answering questions isn't worth the trouble sometimes. That's like the most eloquent resignation statement I have ever heard. That's what people say when they don't like their job. Producer, we coming to the end of the show? Number 1 minute to read, just read from the headlines. Caller, I'm so sorry. I'm out of time. I can't take the call. Amid backlash over cabinet minister's revelation that the government rehired nearly 500 retirees, Minister of Foreign Affairs Fred Mitchell said, sometimes it, quote, isn't worth the trouble to answer questions in this country. I'm glad that y'all preferenced that with the nearly 500 retirees. Because you could have been talking about SpaceX, hey? You could have been talking about moorings. You could have been talking about a whole manner of things. But when a politician says to you, sometimes answering questions is not worth the trouble, they're trying to find a way to resign. Don't think that I don't have the article about Question Time, where the opposition only got 30 minutes, and this was their first Question Time since March 2024. I want to read these two stories in conjunction tomorrow if I have the time. Thank you very much, producer, for your patience. Thank you to MD Patient Navigation and Melissa Major for sharing that wonderful initiative with us today, MD Cares Cancer Care Kit Initiative. You guys stay tuned. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.